Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love. We love, no, not just for some, but for everyone.
Well, good afternoon, my lovely listeners. It is time to love. I'm Lydia, your lighthouse of love, teaching, motivating, and guiding you on your journey to loving yourself. Yes, loving yourself is the way. Does this come right away? Usually no. I wish it were as easy as saying, now I love myself. But we have to undo the damage that we've endured by ourselves and others. Yeah, the damage is not always intentional. You know, children have big ears. Just want to tell you that. We may not be aware that our words can be interpreted wrongly. It can be as innocent as a parent saying that one of their children is so pretty, but not say anything about the other child. That child might interpret it as, I'm not pretty. Carrying that around for a whole lifetime. In my opinion, though, pretty is a state of mind. And when you think you're pretty, whatever that means, you project that. And we all know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I feel it comes from within. It comes from being your true self. I believe that's where true beauty really is. But, you know, I just think that a parent who is speaking about their child, they really need to be darn sure that child isn't around. And that goes for praise as well as for any criticisms, too. Because, you know, praising your son's scientific abilities might lead him to believe that he is not an artist. It's a fine line we walk, let me tell you. In my case, I grew up with just one sibling, and my sister was 5 years older than me, and so in my eyes, you know, she was very smart. Of course she was. She had 5 more years of experience on me. But I heard many descriptions of both of us, and my sister was the smart one. And I was the wild one, whatever that meant. My sister was skinny. I was not. I believed what was said. After all, these were my elders talking. So how much of that did I choose to carry around for quite some time? I have to say, you know, a long time. Now, I'm going to pick on parents for just a bit. You know, we are our children's first teachers, after all. In a perfect world, parents would love their children the same. But let's be honest, it doesn't always happen. We tend to see people in our lives as reflections of ourselves, whether we're conscious of that or not. And I would say that some people might not even agree with that, especially when the people in our lives are projecting something that we think is negative. We don't want to see that in ourselves, but I believe that they're kind of in our face so that we can look at that in ourselves. Not that we can judge them, not that we can criticize them, but that we can, so that we can see it in ourselves and learn to accept it in ourselves and maybe be a little more gentle with ourselves. And if it is truly something extremely negative, we can learn to change that. So The things we don't want to see about ourselves appear larger than life, sometimes in someone else. Now, we might be vain and see that in our young children, and we try to stifle that in them, thinking that we're doing a good thing. But let's face it. Most parents try to do the best they can, yet they're deeply affected by their own baggage they bring into the situation from their upbringing. So I do want to caution parents, grandparents, everybody, really to be careful with your words. Be careful with your praises. And unless you're in a teaching moment, don't even criticize. But if you're in a teaching moment, criticize with a loving, kind heart. And try to watch your words there also. Because children, they're just so impressionable. And some children come into this world being very perfectionistic. Or they've seen their parents being very perfectionistic. In fact, there was a teaching moment that I had for my son. I was reading something, and it talked about perfectionism. And, you know, my friends will tell you that I'm not the biggest perfectionist in the world. But, you know, I can be hard on myself just like everyone else. And I was reading something about that and how we learn from our parents. And I started noticing in my son that he had that perfectionism. And so what I did was I picked a moment when I made a mistake, you know, and it happened to be that my son was in the car and I made a mistake, and I really tried to make it a teaching moment. I said, oh, instead of like yelling at myself or saying things like I'm stupid or anything like that, I said, oh, geez, I made a mistake. I really need to be more forgiving of myself. You know, everybody makes mistakes, and I made one. So I'm going to let that go and not beat myself up about it. And, you know, my son actually learned from that. Does he always remember that moment? I don't know. I wish he did. But, you know what? I think it's just important to model for our children, especially if you're a perfectionist, that, yeah, mommy can make a mistake, daddy can make a mistake, and everybody lives to tell the story. And, in fact, I don't know, I might even have laughed about it and just said, yeah, you know, sometimes I get really upset with myself for making this mistake, but, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I think I'm going to choose to go easy on myself. So, you know, keep that in mind. You can model things for your children and model coping mechanisms for your children that are going to help them all throughout their lives. Yeah. So, just please, you know, be very careful. You know, it would be really nice if there weren't the labels pretty, smart, coordinative, creative, and all the rest, but there are. It is just a learning experience for all of us as we go through this life. Now, there are some people who have an innate ability for something. Let's just say it's music, right? Now, that person, that doesn't actually mean that a person who doesn't have that ability can't be good at it. So remember, we have the choice to do, I'm sorry, we have the choice to own what is said for all our lives or to create our own truth. Let's say you grew up with a friend or a brother or someone in your life that had an innate ability for music, and they picked up an instrument, and in our eyes, they just seemed to play it. And we were in awe of that, and we picked up the instrument, and, no. You know, the chord changes were not easy. Let's say the guitar. The chord changes were hard. And so many of us feel that we don't have a gift for it. And while we may not have, I'm going to put in air quotes, the gift for it, we can learn it. If that's our passion, we're able to learn anything. Will it take practice? Oh, my gosh, yes. It's going to take practice. But if we teach our children that, you know, hey, sometimes practice is what makes us really good. And you can almost bet, even if you have a gift for it, learning an instrument will take practice. And yes, people that are very good at an instrument, they make it seem effortless. I know that I've given this example before, if not to y'all, to my students, but I teach pottery, and when I demonstrate, especially to beginners, it looks easy. It looks so gosh darn easy. And then they get on the wheel, and the very first step when you work on the pottery wheel is to center the clay. And that's a strange word, and people don't quite understand it. But, boy, I made it look easy. And then they try. And, I have my students start out with a small bit of clay, and they're trying to put that clay in the center. And here I did it in about, 5 seconds maybe. And they're struggling with it, and they don't. Then they're like going, well, what does it mean? What should I be doing? And, the lucky ones are the ones that I catch right away, and I go, oh, wait a minute, let me help you, and I can personally help them. But the other ones are the ones that slip my radar, and I don't see that they're really struggling with it for a while. And some of them get very, very discouraged. And I truly try to remind my students that this is something I myself struggled with. I was the worst student in my first pottery class. I was really bad. But my teacher, he said, Lydia, if you practice, you'll get good. And something within me knew that was true, and there was also something within me that wanted it to be true and wanted to, and really I felt it was true, that that was a true statement. And so I worked at it, and I practiced, and now I make it look easy. But it didn't come overnight. But I don't want to give kids the false belief that they can do everything and everything they do is perfect. I don't think that's right either. And that might be the pendulum that we see going back and forth. I think when I was growing up, and that was a long time ago, but, got a lot of criticism, not a lot of praise. That was not part of my growing up. It was not praise, it was criticism. However, now I see the pendulum, especially in my son's day, where the praise was laid on thick and heavy and sometimes didn't match what the output of energy was. So now I'm hoping, in my optimistic viewpoint, that the pendulum is swinging back to a little bit of both. It's great to recognize strengths, but it's also great to try to get children to work on their weaknesses and to, especially when it's their passion, if you see that they really want to learn to draw, expose them. There are artists, famous artists that, when you look at their painting, it's like looking at a photograph. Everything is so realistic and perfect. And then there's artists that are more abstract, and they use color and great big thick brush strokes to, really emphasize what they're feeling. And neither one is right. You may enjoy the one that looks like a photograph, while I enjoy the one that's very abstract, but it doesn't make either one better than the other. It's expressionism. So, I actually have quite a few young people in my life, and I really want to expose them to that they can do their passion. They might have to work at it. But if it's their passion, they just need to be themselves and they need to go for it. So, okay, now I'm done with picking on parents, all right? And I'm going to move on to teachers. Parents are the first teachers, But some teachers, they have no idea how important they are in a child's life. None at all. And in many respects, at certain ages, they are more influential than parents. I think teaching is the most important vocation in the world. And in my mind, a good teacher should be paid as much as a doctor, a scientist, a lawyer, any of the higher paid professions, because they're shaping the future of a human being. And what is more important than that in our world? Really, what is more important? You know, you bring a soul into the world, and we can hope, we can at least hope there was a night of fun in that involved. But a teacher, they just get the package. They just get this little meat suit that has already been formed by the people in their lives, the sitters, the daycare, the parents, and they have to work with that. I believe they need to somehow meet the child on their level. But in this day and age, teachers are way overworked. They have large classrooms. How do you teach 32 children? How do you do that? I mean, I had problems with one active child. I can't even imagine teaching 32 children in a classroom. I think it's more than what we should expect of a human being. And then you don't pay them what they're worth. I just think it's a true gift to be an amazing teacher. An amazing teacher might not have to teach each and every student the exact date that such and such happened in the world 200 years ago. Like, what does that matter for today? I know you history buffs are going to be mad at me. I love history, believe me. But I never had a teacher that gave me the passion to really learn about it and find out about it. They just tried to cram a bunch of dates in my head. And, you know, my friends know I can barely remember when my birthday is, let alone remember a date when something happened 300 years ago. It's not who I am. And it's not who a lot of our children are. But if you make history come alive, they'll love it. And that's what a good teacher does. They make the subject come alive. But how do you do that with 32 children? Some of the children might be advanced, and they already know it, and they want to move on. And some of the children may have learning difficulties, and they just, you know, they're not going to get it. And then you pile on top of it the teachers that have to teach to the test because they have, I don't know what they call it in other states, we have CSAP tests. Oh, my gosh, why don't you just boil me in oil? I think I'd enjoy it more. I don't know how a child with a very active intelligence can stand it. I know I couldn't have stood it, but they're teaching to these tests, and oh my God, I'd be under the desk snoring when I heard about it. I mean, literally, my heart just broke for these children. Where's the creativity? Where's the passion for learning? I think the teachers are halfway bored themselves, yet they are in fear of losing their jobs. You know, it all makes for such a vast, backwards kind of learning environment. You know, teach to the passion. Have smaller classrooms. I know this actually will cost money. Oh, my God. We're going to spend money on education. Now, don't get me started. You can already feel that passion rising in me. Yeah, far be it from this country to teach children to want to learn and be creative in their thought processes. No, instead we're going to spend a bundle of money on people that sit on their butts and try not to do anything for the little people. Okay, wait. Oh, wait. Let's put the brakes on right now. I'm putting the brakes on, folks. I'm self-regulating. Deep breath here. Deep breath. Okay. We spend money on the wrong things in this country. We should be spending money on education, real education, where we have minds that come out of even high school that are ready to tackle some problems, some true problems. Yeah. And, you know, what's true problems? Well, I can go big. I can go, you know, the environment, energy. I can do things like that. But a good friend of mine brought up a big problem in our world, and that is customer service this week. Yeah. Yeah. Where is the customer service? But I believe that is a skill we can teach people. We can teach people to care about other people. We can teach people to be proud of the services that they're offering and how important that customer is. Because without the customer, there's no paycheck. Yeah. How many people get taught that? We're just churning out Walmart employees? Yeah, sorry to pick on Walmart, but that could get me going again too. Okay, I'm not going there. But really and truly, teaching is such an important job, and you really have to be careful with how you teach, how you impart things. For instance, when I was a young girl, I had a teacher that she created some amazing pictures by using graphing paper. And I was pretty much in awe. I mean, I remember to this day a beautiful peacock on graphing paper. It was just gorgeous. But this nun would sit at the front of the class, and she would yell out the number of the box, because you'd number the boxes on the top part of the paper and on the other part of the on the left side of the paper. And she would say, oh, I think we lettered the one on the top of the paper and numbered on the bottom. And she'd say, A1, get your green crayon and fill in that square. Oh, gosh, I'm feeling tired even as I say it and remember it. And, you know, I tried to follow along, but, you know, I didn't do real well. And she pretty much told me that I was never going to be an artist. Ha! Sister Delphine, I am an artist. That's my vocation. And you are a nun that colors in boxes. But, you know, it's, shoot, you know, she could have just overlooked it. I got most of the squares right. But, you know, I'd get distracted. I'd pass a note to a friend, and I'd lose sight of a few boxes, and I would color the wrong colors. So, you know, sue me. But she did. I think she flunked me in art, and that was the art. Every week we did that kind of a lesson. Oh, it's amazing I'm an artist now. It's amazing I didn't shun the whole field for that. But, you know, it's influence. It's influence, and we all have teaching moments in this life. And I know, how does this all come back to self-esteem, self-love? It actually really does. Because we're all teaching, especially the young people, you know, from the moment they're born to the moment they decide they're an adult and don't need us anymore, we're teaching them. So I really believe that teaching is very, very important. I read about a story about a woman who was, in fact, I'll read you this story. It was on Tiny Buddha. And Tiny Buddha is an amazing website. If you've never been directed there or seen anything there, you might want to check this out. But she mentions family of origin, you know, the first teaching moments and how she got her ideas about herself. And she grew up with 9 siblings, and she just never fit in. She said her 2 sisters were tall and thin with beautiful, long, lush hair. And by 11 years old, she was short, curvy, and had fine, thin, wild hair. So for the most part, her siblings did as they were told. And for her, she was outspoken, out of control, and rebellious. I'm sure those labels were stuck on her. She said she wore her sister's hand-me-down school uniforms, another little Catholic girl, I'm assuming. And she said she rolled up the hems of the skirts and popped buttons on the blouses, and her look was very unkempt. She was teased and bullied at home and at school. Yet she didn't go quietly into the night. She said she fought for her place in her family. And to protect herself, she developed a good punch and grew a sharp tongue. She said she was 27 years old and married with 4 children when she became desperate enough to seek out help from her therapist, a first therapist. She said she felt alone and unlovable, but she was determined to change. She went through 6 months of working through her childhood issues, old thoughts, beliefs, and events, and she felt alive again. It was like stripping off several layers of paint from an antique piece of furniture. I found myself restored to my original beauty. Oh, gosh, I love that. But do you see? Are you beginning to see? Some people, and I'm not making any judgments here, but some people might not realize what's going on in their lives. I actually think 27 is fairly young to realize that. But yet again, she had 4 children, so she had these little mirrors always in her face, and I'm sure they were little teachers. I used to say that my son was the biggest teacher in the smallest package when he was a little guy. Then he quickly became a big teacher. he was a big teacher, but his package grew. He got to be really big, and he still constantly teaches me. But, you know, I just think that it is so important that we look at this. We look at our childhood influences. When we're struggling to love ourselves, we're going to have to wade through the garbage. We're going to have to strip off the paint on that beautiful antique oak carved, you know, dresser. We're going to have to, you know, just peel and peel and strip and work at it until we realize that we are absolutely beautiful, all of us. And so we are lovable. Yeah. You know? There is so many influences in the world, and you don't even know when you're influencing. Yeah, you may be influencing in just a very, very quick moments. I have had more people than I can even remember come up to me and tell me that one thing that I said made a difference in their life, maybe got them a little bit of weight to start working on them their lives. And I always acknowledge them because they heard what I said and they went with it. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And that's one of the reasons I do this show, because I do feel that maybe I'll implant a little seed in someone that's listening, whether you're listening live or you're listening on in the archives or you're listening in the chat room. But maybe I'll plant a little bitty seed, and it'll eventually get to the right spot within each person, and there'll be enough sunlight, and there'll be enough watering, and there'll be enough love to make that seed grow. And that's my hope for doing the show, for trying to teach you and myself about loving ourselves more. I did forget to say, hey, call on in. Call in if you'd like. The number is 646-727-2914. That'll say to you if you want to speak to the host, press 1, and then I will get a little icon and I'll know you want to talk to me. If not, maybe you're listening online and that's fine too, you're listening on your phone. In fact, I listen to a lot of shows on my phone, and don't press the 1, then I won't even bother you. Okay? And if perchance you pressed the 1 and didn't realize it, if you don't want to talk, you don't have to. Just say, I'm just listening, and yeah. So, I'm talking about teachers and the little teaching moments that you have. It's amazing who's listening, who's watching. you know, kindness, being kind to someone. You don't know how that affects them. I give a lot of examples over and over again, but I know maybe you don't have time to listen to all my shows. All my shows are in the archives. If you like one, you might want to listen to another one. But homeless people are, you know, sometimes they're unkept. Sometimes they look to be drugs or alcohol. Sometimes they're holding up a sign and they're begging. Instead of looking down your nose at them or looking out the other window or staring straight ahead, be kind. Smile to them. Nod. Ask them how they feel today. Say, how you doing today? They're not going to say, well, give me your money and I'll feel better. And if they do, you can laugh, you know. But be kind. They're human beings. They've got their road. Just like you've got your road. You might have come from a well-paid job. Maybe your brother-in-law or father gave it to you. You don't know. And, you know, you don't know what people are going through. Just be kind, people. Be kind to the people who are waiting on you. They're people, too. And maybe they don't know about customer service. But then you could ask to speak to a manager, and you can tell them that maybe this employee needs a little more training in customer service. But you can do it with a kindness. You can, you know, say what they did right. They were very efficient. But, you know, when I asked them where, you know, the hoo-has were, they acted like they didn't know. So they might need more training, you know. It's really simple to be kind, yet I know sometimes you're in a store and you've had a very hard day, and you don't want to be kind, but I'm telling you, these are teaching moments. These are paying it forward moments, whether you say to the person, hey, pay it forward, or not. Because when you're kind to someone, another person then will be kind. Do you have something to say, Brenda?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Excellent.
See, I think that you're touching on a point that it's amazing that people continue to miss this. There's so many scenarios in our lives where it's very easy to react in anger or to make fun of somebody or to put something down as if it doesn't really matter. For instance, you say homeless people, and that the way that you phrase it actually sometimes leads us into that detachment. They're actually people who happen to be homeless. I mean,
right.
If we put people first before we put any kind of descriptive word, then it will remind us, hopefully over time, that they're people first. In other words, they're no different than we are. They just happen to be homeless, or they happen to be black, or they happen to be fat, or they happen to have a mental illness, or they happen to be poor, or they happen to be rich. I've heard people put down for being rich by my very well-meaning friends that I know wouldn't harm anyone, but yet they, you know, start out that way with like, oh, all rich people are, you know, money-grubbing assholes who don't give a shit about the rest of the world. Well, the reality is that is not the case. But
right.
As long as we, you know, it's like even there they're saying rich people instead of people who are rich, because then they're putting their condition or a particular moment in their life in front of the person.
Yeah.
So when you say be nice and be kind, I know it's really hard for some people to even connect to what that means. But if you connect first with yourself, if you're making fun of somebody who has a mental health issue, let's say that they're bipolar, maybe you make fun of somebody who's obsessive compulsive, who has obsessive OCD disorder. Most of us, the conditions we're in, we don't ask for them. Even the precipitating event that led us there is ignored. Most of us are reacting to a symptom of a bigger problem or a moment in someone's life. I mean, what you see is not the whole story. And people are much more than a moment in their life. I remember in high school, I had two friends that they didn't know each other. Actually, it was junior high, but it was a small community. So I was with one friend, and we were talking about getting a group of us together to do something. I said, "Oh yeah, let's bring Dorothy in." And her mom said something about Dorothy, and I said, "Yeah, her mom." Da da da. She goes, "Oh, that woman's a drunk." And it's like, what? I mean, and I knew her mom to be this. She was like Laura Ingalls' mother. Everything she did was for her children. She was always really sweet and kind and did nice things for people. She was the kind of wife that any husband would want, unfortunately, often get walked over or taken advantage of. Really kind, sweet person. And I couldn't understand how somebody who else I respected would say such a thing. But then, you know, you can't go to the other person and say, this person has this thought process about you. And I was a kid. I was 12 at the time. And I was trying to totally fight the fight for them. And it's like, no, I'm not having that. Anybody like that, I don't want their kids around here. Oh. And so then I did, because it totally hurts my heart that someone could make this. And I thought, there's a mystery here. And when I did talk to my friend whose mom this was asserted about, I said, "Does your mom, you know, have like..." And I had this specific day because of the other friend's mom. She said, "Oh, yeah. My mom had been up for like 24 hours. She had been sewing my costumes for her. She was in Rainbow and Demolay. It's sort of like anybody who's been a mason. It's one of those things for children and young adults. And so she was making all these costumes. She made a few other of her friends' costumes because their moms didn't sew. And then she still had to go pick up her husband from the airport, so she didn't go to sleep because she didn't want to miss it. And her father was kind of strict and kind of mean. And then the next morning, like, her brother had this and that. She had to drive him to that. So this woman was totally going on fumes. And they were in the grocery store, and her mom really, I don't even know if she had had anything to eat. And she started to get lightheaded. So because she was this incredibly exceptional mom, mother, and wife, she was being put down. And that, you know, it's so, because she wasn't a people first, she was a drunk people. Lush is like that. Lush people, blah, blah, blah. So when I finally just kind of, I just had to say something to the other friend's mom. Well, the other girl was able to come over, and it still turned out not good, because there's that harboring thing inside there, right? And that night, Ben got up in the middle of the night, and she was sleepwalking. My first experience with sleepwalkers. You know, they walk into a mirror. They don't walk into a mirror. They actually look in the mirror, and they're fixing their hair, but their eyes are completely closed. And she walked around the house, and the next day, you know, that other friend's mom was like, "I was terrified. You know, strangers walking through her house." And it was like, after that, of course, she was never invited back, and it was just, she could just fall back on her prejudicial thinking.
Right.
So when you think about other people and you're putting them down instead of thinking of them as people like yourself, try to remember the times that you may have appeared way different than you truly are, and that somebody could be making those kind of determinations about you before putting people first. So I just think we need to remember that every moment it has more to it than we simply see or are aware of or may ever get the true story of.
I agree. I agree. I also, Brenda, thank you so much for that. I love that you would turn it around. Instead of saying homeless person, you would say a person who is. I think that's a teaching moment for me, and that you've just given me. You've taught me to frame it in such a way that there is no separateness. I'm a person. She's a person. We're all people. We're
and
not
they
separate.
Happen. They happen to be. It's not so much that there's a person
right.
who is homeless. It's a person who happens to be homeless.
Happen,
if
yes.
you put the happens to be in there, it reminds you that many moments in our lives don't completely take place because of our own personal control. There are so many forces outside of us that are working at any given moment. And
mm-hmm.
we, you know, based on our strength and our foundation and who we are spiritually, it's what helps us traverse those bumps in the road and those moments that seem devastating.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
It can change with a blink. It can change from your kindness. You know, when someone feels invisible or not loved, they don't love themselves. If you show them love in some way, like I said, a nod of the head, a smile. I mean, I smile at everyone and make eye contact and smile at them. And I personally send them love. And you don't know how that's changing people's lives. So it's a moment. You know, they may, you know, be in one situation in one moment, and then they may be your boss in the next moment. Who knows? Things can change.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I have been, in all kinds of moments in my life, and I hope that nobody judges me, you know, the moment when I was, you know, 16 and experimenting with alcohol and puking my guts out on the street, you know. I mean, you know, someone may go, yeah, oh, Lydia, oh, yeah, she was blah, 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 you know, and they remembered me from 16, not, you know, 61. So, yeah. Yeah, we all have our moments, good and bad, but we're not separate. And it's also not, you know, a reason to not accept and love yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you may have a day where you're just angry that you're, you know, I have to remind myself, you guys, I'm not saying this because I'm not trying to teach you all because I'm perfect. I'm trying to teach you all because I need to learn this. But, you know, I had a day where I, you know, someone did something stupid on the road to me, and God, oh, the expletives flying out of my mouth. I mean, you know, a sailor would have looked at me in awe. And then I checked myself. I'm just like, whoa, where did that come from? I checked myself, and it's like, that's not who I want to be. I don't want to be this angry person just because someone, who knows what that other person was doing. You know, they could have gotten word that someone they loved was in the hospital. I mean, there's 5 million things that could have happened to them, you know, and they didn't try to do that to me. So why was I feeling all this anger?
Well, who knows?
You know, just,
maybe they were trying to do it. But what our reaction is what leads us down a path of judgment. And once we go into that moment of being judgmental, then we're so far off whatever path we're on. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it doesn't matter that somebody tries to kill you, yes, or tries to harm you. They have malicious intent. That does matter. But what matters most is how you choose to be known in your life. Mm-hmm. How you choose to be known in your life, who you are, and who's in charge of that bus. Is it somebody outside you who's doing things to you? Are you going to allow them to change the course of your spirit, of your path, of your destination, of being a more loving and accepting being? And in those moments when you're more loving and accepting of others, regardless of their issues for them to work out, then you're actually actively helping to change the world for the better.
Right.
Quite honestly, sometimes we make little of things like making fun of other people. And, you know, that's a teaching thing, like, for instance, and I hope, stop me if I'm taking too much of your show.
No, go right ahead.
But if we're looking from the point of view where, oh, it's just, I've been told this so many years in my life. Oh, Brenda, you're being sensitive. Oh, Brenda, it's just a joke. But it's not. Or one of the favorites is like, it's nothing personal. Listen, everything to do with me in my life is something personal. So when you're making fun of me or making a glib comment about the way my house looks, or the extra weight I carry around, or the way my hair is styled or unstyled, or the clothes that I wear, you're already judging me, even though you think you're making fun, like it's just a ha-ha joke. It's not a joke when someone happens to be homeless. It's not a joke when someone can't afford at the moment to, they don't happen to have the funds at the moment to buy clothes that don't have holes. It's not funny that someone may have been sexually molested or raped or whatever it is that's contributing to their particular issues with their health, their weight, their reactions of being standoffish, PTSD. Soldiers that aren't in uniform that we encounter every day and may not know are soldiers when we're angry because they just didn't, you know, I said hello to that asshole and he didn't even smile and say hello back. That asshole could have been one of those people that was sent somewhere and devastated by what he had to see and losing his friends and coming back home to a place that really may or may not respect him based on whatever clothes he's wearing or she's wearing. And they weren't there. So the teaching moments, you know, and how we raise our children and how we, you know, how teachers teach their students, it all matters. It's not to say we can't laugh and enjoy life. But if your only humor comes from putting another person down, making fun of their affliction or the way that they style their hair or because they aren't you in all your judgmental nastiness, then you have a serious problem. And you're really lucky that people like us aren't laughing at you. Really? You're just sad.
Right.
You're just sad. And
right.
It's like, but the respect comes from at least from who I am, that you will find a way to rectify the ways that you are putting yourself down every time you make fun of somebody with an issue that you think is below you. It subjugates you to the lowest kind of humanity there is. And that usually is hand-in-hand with judgmental stuff.
Yep. And it's, and you know what it reflects on is how you feel about yourself. Why do you have to, if you have to put someone down, what to feel good or to have a laugh, then what does that say how you feel about yourself? If you
it
happen
says
to
everything about
it says
how you
everything.
Feel about yourself.
And that's my well, I want people to start loving themselves because that's how we're all going to raise the vibration of the planet, change the world, is loving ourselves so we can love others. But, you know, the minute that someone who makes fun of someone's torn clothes, the minute that they walk out and didn't realize they had a rip in their pants, are they ready to commit suicide? You know, I mean, how hard are they on themselves that they have to be look a certain way all the time? I don't know. I think there's real problems. There's real self-perception problems. And,
right.
You know, it's tough. So, yeah, definitely look at that. Look how we're all mirrors for each other. And also our beliefs about ourselves. You know, what's happened in the past that, you know, I thought my sister was the smart one, you know, and I wasn't. You know what? I've changed all that. You know, my sister and I are wonderful friends, and we are both freaking amazing and intelligent, both of us. The wild one has realized her own intelligence. Oh, that's something.
Yeah,
amazing.
In your own way. You know, which is what makes you such a great flavor of the moment. Your intelligence is yours and expressed through your spirit in essence. And your sister's the same thing. It's just expressed hers. And so then we have, you know, these two beautiful gals that your mom produced. And, you know, however she did it, not, you know, judging one way or another whether she was perfect, not perfect, whatever, it's just, yet here you are. This is the house that your mom actually helped to build. And so, the comparative stuff doesn't matter. What matters is you get to taste the flavor of someone else's essence by them being who they are authentically.
I think it would be boring if we only had vanilla ice cream. I like that there's 5 bajillion flavors, from jalapeno ice cream to sriracha ice cream. I know a crazy person who'd probably make a sriracha ice cream to some exotic fruit flavor. I mean, we don't want to all be the same, folks. We don't want to. We may have been raised thinking that that was what was good and right, that we all fit in. Oh, my gosh. But you all know, if you look within your hearts, that it's the people that don't fit in that make life exciting, that make things interesting, that discover new ways of looking at things and great scientific discoveries. You know, that those the people that didn't fit in are the ones doing that. And maybe they even got through school and played by all the rules, but we all knew that they didn't quite fit in. And that's a good thing. You know, shift your self-perception, because I want you all to know that you're worthy of loving yourself. And feeling worthy requires you to see yourself with new eyes of self-awareness and love and acceptance. Acceptance and love, they need to come within. When we do that for ourselves, we're more eager and more able to do it for everyone else. I have from this Tiny Buddha article, she had 21 different steps that she says. So I'm going to read a few of them. She says, to begin your day with love, not necessarily technology. Remind yourself of your worthiness before getting out of bed. Breathe in love and breathe out love. Enfold yourself in light. Saturate your being in love. I saturate my being in love and gratitude every single morning before my feet hit the floor. And it may be for a few seconds, and I may be able to languish and just amuse myself with all the things that I'm grateful for and all the things I love about myself. That's a good one. So take time to take time to meditate and journal. You know, I'm a journaler. I love it. You know, if you spend time focusing inward daily, you know, you are going to learn things. You're going to feel more at peace. And this is infectious. This is infectious with your life and the people that you meet, but also for you. If you start with just a few minutes. Don't make it such a heavy, heavy thing like, now I am going to meditate for an hour. And you last 3 minutes and then you're like, meditation isn't for me. Or journaling, you know. But just start. You know, say a minute, say a page, say a half a page, say one sentence, whatever. You know, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and call it, you know, meditation. But as you realize the benefits of this, you're probably going to increase that time. Talk yourself happy is what she says. Use affirmations to train your mind to become more positive. I like this idea a whole lot. She says, put a wristband on your right wrist. And when you're participating in self-abuse of any form, move the band to your left wrist. I thought that was a really good, you know, me being a very visual and tactile person, I thought that is a really good thing. In fact, you know, I am very positive, but I have been reading something that tells me to really become aware of my thoughts for 30 days and to really put myself on a, I hate the word, but I'll say it, a diet of thinking positively instead of negatively. So that's something that I've been doing. She also says to get emotionally honest. Let go of numbing your feelings. We do that shopping, eating, drinking. They're all examples of avoiding discomfort, sadness, and pain. Mindfully breathe your way through these feelings and emotions. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Expand your interest. Try something new. Learn a language. Go places you've never been. Do things you haven't done before. You have a right to an awesome life. I am going to brag about a friend who listens to the show. I won't mention names. But she called me over a year ago, and she had decided that she was going to be a docent somewhere. But she was frightened. She was really frightened, and I'm so glad she called me because, you know, I can speak. I can do public speaking. I've done tours, and I just told her she would be awesome, and she'd be, yeah, would it be scary? Oh, yeah. Well, the other day she posted something on Facebook about just loving her life, and she took that step. She faced her fear, and she went forward. She did something new. She expanded her interests, and her life is different because of it. I'm, like, so proud of her. And, you know, if she talked to the wrong person who said, oh, yeah, I'd be scared to death. Oh, I couldn't do it. How could you do it? Oh, man, you're going to have to learn. How scary is that? You know, instead she knew how to, her soul knew who to call. And she called me, and I'm like, do it. You can do it. You're going to love it. It's going to be so amazing. You're going to look back. And now she's been doing it for a year. Yeah, so try something new. It also says in her 21 things, enjoy life-enhancing activities. Find exercise you like. Yeah, that's a big one. You know, people think you've got to do, you know, TRX or you've got to do Pilates or what do they call it, Pai Yoga, which is Pilates and yoga, all the flavor of the month exercises. You don't. You can walk around the neighborhood, folks. You can turn the music on when you got to clean, and you can shake your hips, and you can sing on the top of your lungs, and you can do a few extra steps, maybe a couple of hand pumps. You can just really work it out and clean your house at the same exact time and have fun doing it. You know, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay a lot of money. Have some fun, but find something. Find a form of exercise that you like. Yeah, you're gonna feel more alive. Become willing to surrender. Yeah, this is a big one for Lydia here. Breathe, relax, and let go. She says, you can never see the whole picture. You don't know, and that's what Brenda was just talking about, you don't know what anything is for. Stop fighting against yourself by thinking and desiring people and events in your life should be different. Your plan may be different from your soul's intentions. Yeah. Sometimes you got to let things go. You know, maybe you would like your child to go to college and higher learning. I don't, by the way, Pat, if you're listening. You know, my desire for my child is that he's happy, and I've let go a lot of things because my child is not me. He is his own being. And in letting go, I feel better. And when I feel better, my son feels better. So, you know, that's just one instance of letting go. Work on personal and spiritual development. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be laborious. It doesn't have to be something that's going to make you all heavy. You know, maybe take a quick online class. You know, I took last week, I was looking for things for my other show, LNB Passage to Empowerment, and I found a great website called unstuck.com. And it's so smart that you would think Brenda Berry developed it. It is amazing. It's amazing. I highly recommend you go there. It costs nothing. Maybe you'll get unstuck. Maybe you'll learn something. Definitely.
Ah.
Yeah.
I hope Brenda Berry finds it.
You will. Unstuck.com. Hey, Nina, you got something to say, honey?
I do have something to say. This has been a really great conversation, you two. I am thoroughly enjoying it, and I know the ladies in the chat room are too, but I want to put out a shout-out to Carrie. She is listening to us all the way from South Africa, and she's in the chat room with me right now, and we're having a great time.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you for listening from South Africa. Oh, my goodness. Carrie, I love you. I'm sending you love where you are, talking with Nina, chatting with Nina in the chat room. You're getting a lot of love from Miss Nina because she knows how to give it. And guess what? She is learning more and more how to receive it, and that makes her a better giver, as it would be with all of us. We're all learning
right.
that. Cool. Excellent. So I have a few more to say, and then I'm going to wrap things up. But she said to live in appreciation, which I talked a little bit about, being grateful. That will change your life, folks. That is one thing that I have done where I have noticed such a difference in my life, to be grateful, to acknowledge that. It's meant the world to me. And I'm glad there's so many movements to express gratitude in our life, in our lives. Many people are working about it. They do, you know, different days, 30 days of gratitude, 6 days of gratitude, 100 years of gratitude. It'll teach you if no matter how you start it, if you're doing, let's say, a 30 days of gratitude and you're writing out one thing each day, it is going to train you to be grateful. You may wake up and you may have an ache and pain, but let me tell you, you woke up, and that is my number one reason to be grateful most days, is that, yes, I woke up. I get a redo. I get a chance to love some more, to tell the people. I get emotional, I'm sorry, but I get a day, another day, or at least some moments to tell someone that I love them, tell someone what they mean to me. That's very, very important. It'll teach you like nothing else, I think. There's a lot of those, but anyway, yeah. Do what honors and respects you. Don't participate in activities that bring you down. Don't allow toxic people in your life. Love everyone, but be discerning on who you allow into your life. And, you know, I feel that Brenda spoke a bit of that. You know, you're in a situation and someone tells you a joke that makes fun of people. You have a teaching moment. You can say, you know, that joke might have been funnier if it didn't, you know, make fun of a whole class of people. You know, you can just say that, you know, and you can speak your truth. And that is really, really important. Become aware of self-neglect and rejection. Become conscious of your choices. Ask yourself several times through the day, does this choice honor me? How would our lives change if we asked ourselves that question more and more? And again, it's like being grateful every day. Once you build that muscle of gratitude up, maybe then it'd be time to then build your muscle up of, does this choice honor me? Yeah. And then the last one she says, and it can be the first one, it can be the middle one, it could be any one, but seek professional help. Yeah. Self-rejection and neglect is painful. You deserve to be happy. You have the right to be accepted and loved. And if it's necessary, seek help from a support group, counselor, or coach. It's the best investment you can make. Yep. We're all interconnected, folks. When I love me, I love you. So together Excellent. We can really heal ourselves, our world, our neighborhood, our block, our planet, our workplace. We can. So be that loving person to yourself first. So, any last words, Brenda?
I think you said it all.
And Nina, you okay? You doing okay at this point? I'll take that as a yes.
I was answering my husband's cell phone because he's on call, and I was downstairs. Ah. So what?
Okay. Do you have any last words, honey? I'm wrapping it up.
Other than great show, I really enjoyed it. And we have another person in the chat room that is from China. So we are gone global, ladies.
All right. Hoot, hoot. That's awesome. That is so awesome. I'm just so proud of everything. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of the three of us. I'm proud of this network, Lennis's network, and I'm glad that we're reaching people. That is really, really amazing. So I am going to take this moment to tell you a little bit about our network and what's coming up in the future. We have shows every single day, and you can also find us in the archives. The archives have a beautiful, beautiful selection of amazing positive shows. But we have, let's see here, we have tomorrow is Sunday, and Sunday is free psychic readings with Lennis. And all of these times are for Pacific time, so if you live east of the Pacific, just add some hours in there. 3 p.m. on Sunday is free psychic readings, and the ninth caller will get a free psychic reading, a whole hour of psychic reading. She does limit the show to one question when you're there, and she has been very busy, so call early. On Monday, we have LNB, Passage to Empowerment, and Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific time, we'll be talking about empowering your life with a road trip. That's one of my favorite topics. And let's see, on Tuesday we have, no wait, I'm sorry, Wednesday we have In the Studio with Lennis, Hot Topics. That's what she'll be doing. And then on Thursday, we're going to have the Hot Topics is at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And then we're going to be having a new person, host Maxwell, will be doing a show on Thursday at 9 o'clock Pacific time. So a little bit late. If it's too late for you, you can get it in the archives. And his show is Proud to Be Different. So, yeah, you might want to check that out. And then on Friday, we have Friday traffic jams at 5 o'clock. And then next Saturday at 2 o'clock, it will be Time to Love Again. So, yeah, tune in and enjoy our shows. And I do want to tell you all that I love you, and I'm proud that you listened. Thank you so much. If you're listening in the archives, that's a great way to listen. So just know, even if you're catching it tomorrow or the next day or next week or next year, I love you. I'm going to take us out with one of my favorite songs. And let's see here. That's right there. Have a great day, rest of your day, folks.
Have a great week, everyone.
I will, and especially if I can get this to go. There we go.
Do it.
I think. It's not doing it for me. Why it does this.
Hang on. I'll see if I can find it.
There we go. I got it, honey. Thank you. Love yourself. Have a great week.